Bible study tonight. I feel like, yeah. I said, this is like a Bible study tonight. This is like a smaller group. We can be more intimate. On a Sunday morning, I feel like you get a lot of people that don't maybe normally come to church, but this is a smaller group, and there's a lot of people that go to church, and you, when you sit down and eat, you want to be fed, right? You want the word. You want, it's not, it can't be like, hey, guess what? Everybody's going to do great. It's not like, eh, you know, smiling. This is like feeding time for us midweek. So I want you to be ready to get your Bible out, get your app on your phone out, do whatever you do. We're going to jump into the word. But I want to talk about the fact that it is 14 days before Christmas. I mean, isn't that amazing that it's like here? And I don't care how far out you plan, Christmas always sneaks up on you. So I'm at the store the other day, and this guy, I'm at Target, and this guy and his wife, they're like running around, and they're grabbing all kinds of stuff. And I go to reach for something, and I'm getting a DVD for my daughter. My daughter Jamin wanted something, and so I, of course, just got it for her. So I'm going to reach for something, and the lady jumps in front of me. She grabs it. I'm like, whoa, what's going on here? She said, oh, I didn't know if it was the last one. I was like, okay. I said, if it was the last one, you got it. But I'm going to take the one behind it. And I smiled at her, and I was like, hey, you know, everything will be okay. And I looked at her. I said, hey, everything will be okay. I said, Merry Christmas. And she looks at me, and she goes, I'm so sorry. I feel like such a jerk. And I'm like, hey, it's the real meaning of Christmas is just smiling and being nice to people. So I want to talk to you tonight about what are you doing at Christmas time, and are you pursuing happiness, or are you pursuing everything else? So the title of this message is The Pursuit of Happiness. And I want to say hi to all of you, and I'm glad. Dad, I know you're listening online. I love you, and I hope you're having a good time in Florida. So this time of year, people get crazy, though, don't they? I mean, have you guys ever... I love this time of year. I'm lying. I don't like it at all most of the time. I think people forget about the real meaning of Christmas and about being happy and being with loved ones. I love Thanksgiving because there's no pressure ever. You know, Thanksgiving, you just go and eat, and that's it. I mean, there's no, like, huge preparation for it, for me anyways. But I love this time of year, Christmas time, where you can watch... Yeah, I know, it's terrible to say, but it's not. I love watching Christmas movies like Home Alone and Elf. And the other night I was watching a Hallmark movie at home, and I'm like, man, I kind of like this Hallmark movie. I'm like looking at it, and I'm like, maybe I was tearing up just a little, and that's a little embarrassing. One of my favorite movies at Christmas time is, you know, Christmas Vacation, obviously, Clark Griswold. I wouldn't recommend all of you taking your kids home to watch it if you haven't seen it. But isn't that the way Christmas time is? Sometimes you try so hard to make everything go right, and you're focused on all the wrong things. And all of a sudden, you know, you go to plug in the lights, and nothing works. And you try to mesh all your families together, and all of a sudden, nothing works. So I remember growing up as a kid with my dad. He always wanted to do lights, and my dad's a big Christmas guy. And we got outside, and we strung all these lights up. And we go to plug them in, and none of them work. And boy, did he get upset. And he's just, you know, upset. He's a man. He's just upset about it. But do we remember the real meaning of Christmas? And so do we remember all of the real stuff? And is that really getting us closer to happiness at Christmas time? Does it? I mean, really, do all the lights and all the trees and stuff, do those things make us happy? I don't know. Let's take a look at Isaiah 40. And this is in the Old Testament. This is in the first half of the Bible, and there's 39 books in the first half of the Bible, and it really tells a story about the children of Israel and how they were God's chosen people. They were in slavery, and then obviously we all know the story how they were let out, and they were in the wilderness, and then they made their way to the Promised Land after a lot of years. But this book was written in 700 B.C., and Isaiah was a great man of God, and he was actually around the kings of those days, and he had a great voice. And God had helped him to have a really great voice on that day. So I want you to look at Isaiah 40, and it's 3 through 5. I want you to take a listen. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and the flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word tonight. I pray that these will be your words and not mine. Lord, I pray that you'll take every bit of myself out of this and make it all from you. I pray that you'll open the hearts of the people that are here to listen tonight. I pray that you'll feed them. I pray that you'll give them some good things to take home and apply to their families and their loved ones. More importantly, Lord, I pray that you'll make this message real to them as you have me. In your name we pray. Everyone says, amen. So, some 700 years prior to Jesus coming, Isaiah is proclaiming and writing about what was coming. I mean, we get frustrated if something don't happen, you know, in a year. You know, we get how many of you ever had been prophesied over or somebody says, I had a dream about you? And like the next week, we're like, yeah, okay, he don't know nothing. He wasn't hearing from the Lord. What are you talking about? But this Isaiah was talking 700 years prior. And it was calling out in such a real way that all of this applies to today. And so when you first read that, you're like, if you're anything like me, you're like, okay, those are words on a page, unless you've heard a message about it. So I want to make this real to you. The first thing we need to do around Christmas time for this pursuit of happiness is to listen. This time of year, it's really hard to listen. It's really hard to, like, pay attention to what anybody else is saying or what's going on around you because we're so busy, aren't we? Who are we focused on? We're focused on ourselves and our family and our jobs. And I'm really busy. You don't understand. I got a friend of mine that says, I'm really busy. You might be busy, but I'm really busy. Well, we have to listen to one another and what's going on in each other's lives. The Bible says, the voice of one is crying in the wilderness, prepare a way for the Lord, make straight in the desert and the highway for our God. You ever try to talk to someone who's not listening? And the Bible says it's the voice of one crying in the wilderness. I talked to someone on the phone once in a while. It's like, hey, are you there? You know, are you listening? You know, Amanda, or I mean, are you listening? I'm talking to this person on the phone, and it's, I don't always have their attention. And you ever talk to that person, they have no clue what you're saying by the end of like a 30-second or a 1-minute conversation. So I looked up the definition of listen because I think it's important. To give attention with the ear, attend closely for the purpose of hearing, and sometimes, and it says give ear, but sometimes we hear, we're hearing, but we're not listening. Sometimes we're hearing and we're only thinking about a response. And I want to talk to you about, are we good listeners in our lives? Do we listen to what the Lord has for us in our lives? Are we listening when we go to church? Are we listening when we sing music? Are we listening when somebody speaks into our life? When my dad unlocks all these truths in the Bible, are we actually listening to what is being said? Or are we doing our time? You know, I grew up in church and I've several times come to church to do my time. I know that shocks most of you, and maybe it doesn't shock any of you, but how many times have you ever come to church and just done your time? I mean, you're really not listening. You're not listening to your spouse or your children. And at this time of the year, it's so easy not to listen to what's going on around you. And are we listening to the right things? When somebody at our job tells us something or somebody speaks something over our life, are we listening to that more than we are what God says about us? What he says in his word about who we really are? We're children of Christ. We our Father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. But do we really listen to that stuff? And I was listening to this song tonight. I'm amazed at how much God loves me because I'm such a sinner. I'm such saved by grace. And when we sing those songs, it really touches me because I'm actually listening to what the song has to say. I'm amazed at how God loves me. I really am because really, I'm kind of a wretched person. And when I come to church, I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm amazed at how he loves me because I'm listening. The Bible, it tells us so many things about this, but we don't have to play Bible roulette. How many of you ever sat down and you're sitting in your study or wherever you read your Bible or in the living room or whatever, you get up early one morning and you play Bible roulette and you go, all right, Lord, I really need to hear from you today. I got this or that going on in my life. So I'm going to read my Bible now. Hold on a second. And, okay, what's this say? It's lost, cast into the lap. Oh, yeah, that has nothing to do with me. So when we talk about listening, are we talking about going to Bible studies? Are we talking about being around people that are like-minded to us? Are we talking about getting in church and having the word unlocked for us? Because when we listen, we actually can hear God's voice. And in our hearts and in our every single day life, we can apply that to us. You get me? You feel me? All right. Our relationships, our families, and our work, we have to be engaged listeners. And so I love what Proverbs 2:1 through 5 says. I'll give you a second if you got a Bible to flip over there, because I have to flip over. It says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you will incline your ear to wisdom." It's really weird that it says the same thing I was just talking about. I picked it out, obviously. "And apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift your voice to understanding, if you seek her as silver," understanding and wisdom, do we seek it as silver? Like, so we spend a lot of time at our jobs. Are we seeking it as silver? "And search for it as hidden treasure. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find knowledge in it." How many of us know the knowledge of God and can put it to our everyday use? So the first thing I want you to really remember is to listen. At this time of the year, it's more important because there's so many distractions. Isaiah 43:40, verse 4, "Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill brought low, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the rough places will be made smooth." Once we're listening, we can prepare for that pursuit. And the verse in Isaiah is pretty cool because back in the day, Eastern kings, those kings always had servants to go before them. And that's what he's talking about there in the Bible. They had servants to go before them to do what? To make the way smooth. They would actually, if there was potholes, they would make those smooth. If there was rugged terrain, they would change the actual terrain because these men were so powerful. How many of you would like if somebody went ahead of you and made life smooth? I thought of that on the way home today from work. I'm driving, and man, there's snow everywhere, and there's a plow, and you got to avoid the plow, and the plow guy doesn't care about you. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm talking about this tonight. I would love it if somebody would make my way smooth. But a lot of us in our life, we can have our way made smooth if we actually listen to what the Word has to say about our everyday life. But for some reason, we just want it to happen. Let me give you a second to think about it. It took me a second. I just want things to happen. I don't want to, you know, how do I do this? How do I unlock all the truth in the Bible? How do I understand everything that he has to say to me? But 700 years before, he was talking about this. And how many times does Jesus go ahead of us in our life to make our way smooth? We have to accept that not everything is always going to be the way we think it's going to be. And we have to accept that not everything is going to be as smooth in life as what we would want it to be. But that's not always his way. So it's going to take us a little while to understand that. But I want you to flip over now to Luke 3, verse 10 and 11. "So he asked the people, saying, 'Then what should we do then?' He answered to him and he said, 'He who has tunics, let him give to him who has none. And he who has food, let him do likewise. So I want to unlock these keys to happiness, to the pursuit of happiness at Christmas time. So we got to listen. We know we got to listen. But the first key is generosity. He's not asking them to give something that they don't have. He's asking the guy that has the two tunics to give one. So it's an incredible story about how he just unlocks it just like that. I want to share a story with you. So a long time ago, I had lost my job, and I was driving two cars from the place that I was working, and somebody had found out about that, and they said, "Hey, we want to let you and your family use our car for however long it takes you to find another job." And I'll tell you what, at that time in my life, that act of generosity and selflessness meant more to me than really anything up to that point. I had a little baby at home. I had two other kids, but I had probably a two-month-old at home. And so when that had happened, that generosity spoke so much to me. I never forgot that because they didn't expect anything back because, honestly, I didn't have anything to give them back at the time. There was nothing I could do. But a few years later, the same thing had happened to that gentleman, and I was able to bless him in a different way. And so the generosity is so important in our lives, because when you don't get to get, you get that? You don't get to get for yourself, you get to give. And when you get to give and you're a blessing, it'll make you feel better than anything that you can ever believe. I couldn't believe it. It was unbelievable. So John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he what? He gave. He gave his only son. So those are such important things. And there's so many people in this church that do so much. The volunteers are in this church. When I sat down, I was sitting down front where Amanda is tonight, and Paulie came and walked up to me. I love the guy. He's always here. He's always in the back. He's up in the nursery tonight. Shaney was sitting down with me. Chris Busniak, we were talking about opening the doors and doing the sidewalks. I mean, that kind of stuff, that is amazing stuff. But are we preparing our heart for really the pursuit of happiness, or are we trying to get happiness from all these other places? So generosity is the first thing. Luke 3:12 through 14, it says, the tax collectors also came to be baptized and said to him, Teacher, what shall we do? And he said to them, now this is tax collectors. Does anybody like a tax collector? I'm going to be honest with you. If you work for the IRS, don't come and tell me afterwards. Let's just keep it at that. So he says to them, collect no more than what's appointed to you. That's what he said to him in Luke. And likewise, the soldiers asked him, and what should we do? And he said to them, don't intimidate anyone or falsely accuse, but be content with your wages. And he said, he never says to them, don't do your jobs, but he says, do them with what? Integrity. That's the second thing. So generosity and integrity at this time of year. I was in the Starbucks the other day, and I'm in Starbucks almost every day, but I was in Starbucks the other day, and this guy forgot to charge me for my extra shot of espresso in my drink. And I said, hey, man, you forgot to charge me for my extra shot. Because my drink was under $5. I know that sounds crazy, but I knew that it should be $5.38. And I said to myself, I said, you know, I got to tell the guy. He gave me an extra shot. He didn't charge me right. So I told him that, and he was blown away that I said that to him. But I was thinking to myself, man, integrity, it's what you do when no one else is looking. It's what you do. And these guys, they couldn't believe it that I told them. They said, we don't have people tell us that kind of stuff. But are you being integrous in your everyday life and in your jobs and in your homes? And if the waitress, we were at Sport of Kings, she forgot something, a meal or something like that, and we had to tell her that she put it on. She couldn't believe it. She said, wow, if I would have got caught in that, you know, that wouldn't have been a good thing. But how do you operate in your everyday life? Do you operate with integrity? When no one else is looking, are you doing the right things? So that's the second pursuit to happiness, is integrity. So we got generosity and integrity. When the opportunity comes, what will you do with your integrity? When no one else is looking. But that's how you stay happy. Look at the person next to you and say, that's how you stay happy. And tell them it with conviction. Just, I mean, look at them and be like, hey, that's how you stay happy. So I want to go on to the next thing, Luke 3:7-9. And this is really cool because you guys have all heard of John the Baptist. But I think of, you guys all know who Joel Osteen is? Yeah, hey, friends and neighbors, we're so happy to have you today, and we love you, and you look so good today. And there's, like, he's got the biggest church that I've ever seen, I think ever has been created, except for, like, you know, heaven. But no, I'm kidding. So I always think of Joel Osteen, but I think John the Baptist, he might come off a little bit differently than Joel Osteen, and I wish Pastor Larry was here, but I look at this and I think of Pastor Larry. So the verse says in verse 7, then he said to the multitudes that had come out to be baptized for him, he said, you blood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not begin to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children of Abraham from these stones. And even now the axe laid at the root of these trees. Therefore, every tree that who does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. Now, I couldn't see Joel Osteen saying that. I mean, he ain't going to say it. He's too smiley. But that Pastor Larry, anybody that knows him, he would be saying that. So why is John so harsh in that? Why is he, I mean, if Joel Osteen, he's smiling pastor, why is John so harsh? He's coming out and just slapping us in the face. And what happens in the church nowadays is people think because they're the son of Abraham or this or that, they have this because I go to church or because I am a good person. How many of you know that in the world nowadays that people think that if they are a good person, that means that they got the ticket, they're going to heaven? But the Bible says no one goes to the Father but through me, and that's Jesus talking. So he just comes right out with it, and he slaps them around. And I think that the attitude of the church today is that, hey, if I'm generally a good person, I'm just going to coast this thing. I'll be fine. And so many of us forget at Christmas time what the real meaning of Christmas is. And do we teach our children that? Are we teaching them generosity? And are we teaching them integrity? There's so much more important gifts that you can give your children. So the last thing is to be consistent and to be practice integrity, but be consistent in it. Because that's what John the Baptist was saying right there. Quit playing games. Let's get serious. See, if you don't bear fruit, man, he's going to cut the axe, is going to use it on the roots, and he's going to throw it into the fire. And so in our everyday life, we need to be consistent with all three of those things. And when I was doing this, I looked at consistency, and I take an interest in sports, and I looked up consistency, and I was really searching around what would matter, what would match up to consistency. And I found Michael Jordan, some stats on Michael Jordan. He scored over 30 points a game in his career. He not only did that, but every time he went to practice, his team said that he would go 100% at practice. The highest scoring game that he ever had was when he was running a temperature of 104 or 105 degrees. So when we're in life and we got the temperature turned up, if you know what I'm saying, you know, when our integrity is tested, when our generosity can be tested, when our consistency can be tested, how are we going to react? What are we going to do? I ask you that at this Christmas time, what do you do when you're busy and your kids are screaming about what they're screaming about? Because we all know they're going to scream about something. Or your husband and wife, things always get tight financially around Christmas time. And it always adds that little more stress. How will you react to the people that you love? How will you react when you get busy and church is a hassle and going, you know, being friends with the people, your loved ones? How will you react at those stressful situations? Use integrity. Use consistency. Use generosity and have those things in your heart at this time of year. But the most important thing we need to do is we need to remember to listen to the Lord and His Word. And when we start off our day with reading the Word or jumping into a Bible study or being around people that are like-minded with us, how many of you know it's a lot easier to stay the course and be consistent and be integrous and be encouraging to one another than it is if you are around that stuff that is not so great? So what you're listening to and what you're putting in your mind, you have to make sure that it's pure. You protect yourself and you be careful at what words come out of your mouth. Because how many of you know sometimes when you speak different things, you're listening to that. I'm no good. I'm not doing the right things, or I'm not the person that I thought I was. And you got to watch what you speak over yourself, but you got to watch what you speak over your children and people that you're around. So I want you to consider those three things: consistency, integrity, and generosity at Christmas time. And I really want you to pray about them and keep them in your heart, because I promise you one thing. As I was doing this, I was looking at my own life, and it really has made a difference in my life the last, you know, couple weeks as I was putting this message together. So I would ask you to really consider it and pray about these things. Let's pray together. Lord, we pray that you will help us with the things that we've spoken about today. Lord, that we'll listen to your voice. And when we do, we'll have consistency and integrity and generosity. But Lord, we pray that you'll be in our everyday life and our everyday decision making. I pray for every person here that you'll bless them for making the sacrifice of their time this evening. I pray that you'll bless them in their businesses, in their homes, and in their families. But Lord, more importantly, I pray that you'll let them hear your word in their everyday life. And everyone prayed and said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming out tonight. I hope you will use what you've learned tonight and apply it to your life. God bless you. Have a good night.